BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. News Roundup Day here on the broadcast today. We'll pull together a number of stories. I should say Sandy's gotten many ready for us here today, and we'll seek to get these out to you here and keep you informed on matters going on. We've got Karen at the phones today, Justin in the control room, and so our team's all ready to go. And thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. Well, friends, yesterday we talked about this, repeal of DOMA. They call it Respect for Marriage Act, and others have dubbed it more aptly Disrespect for Marriage Act. And now the shaking news coming out from multiple sources, this one from hotair.com, that Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin says he will support the House's gay marriage bill. This makes five Senate Republicans now in favor of this legislation, with Johnson's support a surprise to literally everyone. In his statement to, I believe it was the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Johnson referenced the landmark Obergefell versus Hodges decision that legalized same-sex marriage. He said, prior to Obergefell versus Hodges Supreme Court decision, I supported civil unions. After Obergefell, I considered the issue settled. Unlike Roe v. Wade, I do not see any scenario in which the Supreme Court would overturn Obergefell. The other four are Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, probably, Tom Tillis, and Rob Portman. But now Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin saying he will support this this legislation that really strikes at the very heart of the definition of what true marriage is. You can reach out to him as well through the Capitol Hill switchboard. We've given that number to you often, but just wanted to bring that to your attention. Lord willing, on Monday, we'll be joined by constitutional attorney Matt Staver discussing this and other related issues. Well, from the blaze, Kansas will be the first voters in the nation to weigh in on the abortion issue since the Supreme Court decision on Dobbs. On the ballot in the Kansas primary that will be held on August 2nd is a state constitutional amendment which may determine once and for all whether Kansans believe abortion is a right. Donors and organizations from across the state and across the country have poured in nearly $15 million into various campaigns for the amendment, hoping to sway the electorate. A special alert to listeners in Kansas regarding this on the ballot coming up on August the 2nd. From Newsmax.com, Planned Parenthood on Wednesday challenged Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich's motion to enact a near-total pre-Roe ban on abortion. The Arizona Attorney General, according to Axios last week, requested a court lift an injunction on the state's abortion ban that had been dormant since 73. And Planned Parenthood argues that the Arizona Attorney General's motion blatantly overlooks dozens of laws that conflict with a pre-Roe ban. Arizona's law holds that abortion is illegal unless used to save a woman's life, and the provider of an unlawful abortion, the provider could face up to 5 years in prison. Well, abortion providers challenging Arizona's law. From CNSNews.com, the state of Texas, led by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, has sued the Department of Health and Human Services over its attempt to transform every emergency room in the country into a walk-in abortion clinic. It's the administrative directive released on July 11th, the clarification of the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, a law that forces hospitals to treat patients regardless of their ability to pay and protects doctors from being prosecuted under state laws if they perform a procedure that they deem necessary to save a patient from death or serious injury in an emergency situation. But now the HHS Secretary Javier Becerra's letter says that emergency medical conditions involving pregnant patients may include but not limited to ectopic pregnancy, complications of pregnancy loss, or emergent hypertensive disorders, such as preeclampsia with severe features. His letter goes on to state that an abortion may be an appropriate stabilizing treatment for pregnant patients with an emergency medical condition, and the Texas Attorney General standing up to that very aspect. From the NewAmerican.com, some radical leftists and progressive members of Congress were arrested outside the Supreme Court on Tuesday afternoon for protesting the recent decision to overturn Roe. Capitol Police reported they had arrested 35 people, including 17 members of Congress, for crowding and obstructing, etc. AOC was being escorted away by police, but she crossed her hands behind her back to look as if she were handcuffed. She was not, though, but gave that persona by having her hands behind her back clasped. The other congressional members detained were Cori Bush. There's Representative Presley, Velazquez, Speier, also Sarah Jacobs, Andy Levin, Carolyn Maloney, Madeline Dean, Jen Schakowsky, and Barbara Lee, and Rashida Tlaib. They, along with Alma Adams, Veronica Escobar, and Bonnie Watson Coleman, they were released within an hour of the incident. Okay, a victory here. LifeNews.com. This is due to some pushback. A pro-life Christian who was fired from Southwest Airlines for expressing her views won $5.1 million in a lawsuit against her former employer and workers' union. Breitbart reports that Charlene Carter of Texas accused the Transportation Worker Union of America, Local 556, and Southwest Airlines of firing her in 2017 because she spoke out against the union spending members' dues on pro-abortion activities. "Today is a victory for freedom of speech and religious beliefs," Carter told Fox Business. "I'm so humbled and thankful for today's decision, for everyone who has supported me these past 5 years, including the National Right to Work Foundation." CBN News reported a federal district court in Dallas awarded a $5.1 million settlement to Carter, requiring $4.15 million from Southwest, $950,000 from the Transport Workers Union. From LifeNews.com, House Democrats blocked a resolution Tuesday. Did you hear me? They blocked a resolution that condemns the violence that has targeted dozens of pro-life pregnancy centers and churches since May. Why would they block such a resolution? Is it perhaps because they're in favor of this violence and graffiti and threats that are taking place? Republicans on the U.S. House Rules Committee criticized Democratic leaders after the vote, saying they refused to even consider this resolution. It was House Resolution 1233. This was put in place by U.S. Representative Mike Johnson. He's a Louisiana Republican. Introduced the measure to urge widespread condemnation of the arsons and vandalisms and threats against pro-life and religious organizations since a leaked draft ruling in May showed that SCOTUS was going to overturn Roe. The resolution also urged President Joe Biden's administration to crack down on the escalating violence. Life News has recorded more than 50 reports of arson or vandalism since the Supreme Court overturned Roe June 24th, and more than 100 since a draft ruling was leaked this past May. Let's also look at LifeNews.com as Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer just confirmed that she is pro-abortion, not pro-choice, as you've heard her say. Whitmer recently signed an executive order promoting abortion, but on Wednesday she vetoed $21.4 million in funding for pregnancy centers that help women find abortion alternatives and adoption programs. The veto includes a program to provide housing for pregnant women in need. Whitmer signed the state budget into law but used her line item veto pen to nix funding for the pregnancy centers because she falsely claims that they lie to women just because they don't kill babies in abortion. In celebration of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, U.S. Senators Mike Rounds, Johnny Ernst, and eight of their Senate colleagues introduced a bill to designate June as the month of life. Senator Rounds said every life is precious, a precious gift from God. The sanctity of human life is something we should all work to protect. The legislation celebrates the historic victory for life with a Supreme Court ruling, Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization. If you'd like to look at that legislation or to connect with your senator in D.C. About this, designating June as the month of life, it is S-4539, S-4539, designating June as the month of life. A similar resolution, now that was just introduced July 14, a similar House resolution, that's H-Res 1216, expressed support for the designation of June as the month of life. That was introduced on July the 1st. From Todd Starnes, quoting from CNN, The federal investigation into Hunter Biden's business activities is nearing a critical juncture as investigators weigh possible charges and prosecutors confront Justice Department guidelines to generally avoid bringing politically sensitive cases close to an election. According to people briefed on the matter, while no final decision has been made on whether to bring charges against President Joe Biden's son, sources say the probe has intensified in recent months, along with discussions among Delaware-based prosecutors, investigators running the probe, and officials at Justice Department headquarters. David Weiss, the U.S. attorney in Delaware, is leading the probe, which dates back to as early as 2018. Discussions recently have centered around possibly bringing charges that could include alleged tax violations and making a false statement in connection with Biden's purchase of a firearm at a time that he would have been prohibited from doing so because of his acknowledged struggles with drug addiction. A Western Journal is reporting for President Joe Biden is bad news that's getting worse by the day. The poll of likely voters found that almost 70% of those surveyed thought it likely that the president was aware of at least some of Hunter Biden's major foreign business dealings, including 45% who thought it was very likely, Rasmussen reported. A Rasmussen Twitter post published Tuesday afternoon reported that 67% of independents, that's the voters who make the difference in close elections, 67% think that Biden not only knew of Hunter's dealings with the corruptocrats in communist China, but that Biden himself benefited personally. I've got a, it looks like we're going to have to wait on the break, after the break for this clip, but I have an audio clip of something that happened in the Transportation Infrastructure Committee. Here that dealt with the competency of Joe Biden. We'll get to that here after the break here shortly. Let me also say from WND.com, a U.S. Justice Department ignored lawful instructions from President Trump to declassify and release to the public hundreds of pages of information about how it participated in the now debunked Russian collusion conspiracy against the president. That conspiracy, dreamed up by Democrats, included Hillary Clinton, falsely contended that the Trump campaign from 2016 colluded with Russia on this election. I'm looking at this article here from WND.com. The DOJ, FBI, and other federal agencies jumped on the political agenda, created false documents to submit to the courts, and then obtained permission from those courts to spy on Trump associates. Now, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has confirmed that the documents ordered declassified and released by Trump never became public, according to Just the News. Meadows wrote in a memo at the time regarding the documents that exposed FBI abuses during the Russian collusion probe, how the agency used informants and FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign and misled both a federal court and Congress about failings in the evidence that they had relied on. It was ordered to be released. Meadows explained to Just the News that the president would issue a directive. People getting the instructions would nod compliance, but then they would go out and say, well, we're not going to do that. Again, the DOJ ignored a lawful instruction by then-President Trump to declassify the Russia conspiracy documents. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network, and we'll be having that clip coming up here as well. You'll be hearing as a Texas congressman grilled the transportation secretary about the mental competency of the president. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are we making any progress with a creationist view of the unborn?
Yes, it seems we are, Chris, although there's positive and negative steps being taken. More and more people are being educated on the personhood of the unborn child and the need to protect it. Even efforts to clone humans are helping in the sense that there's much scientific evidence now for the unique personhood of the fertilized egg. Unfortunately, this doesn't always carry the day with legislatures and judges, for they often rule that such a person has no individual rights and can be aborted. We yearn for a day when even the courts go back to Genesis for their thinking.
Thank you, Dr. John.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. What a privilege it was last week to interview Erwin Lutzer, Dr. Lutzer from Moody Church, on Crosstalk about life-changing Bible verses you should know. And I just wanted to make you aware once again that that special of 50% off at the VCY bookstore does come to an end at the last day of July. Normally $14.99, they have it for just $7.49. If you miss the interview, you'll find it at crosstalkamerica.com. To obtain the book, though, you can go to vcy.com, vcy.com, or call 1-888-722-4829. We know many folk got a busy signal right after that was given out, but just want to make you aware that does expire July 31 at 1-888-722-4829. Well, friends, I'd like to play for you this audio clip, because the mental competency of Joe Biden came up in a hearing. It's a transportation infrastructure hearing. This is Texas Congressman Troy, I believe it's Nels. He took down President Biden's unfitness for a higher office in a confrontation with Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. Let's listen in to what took place in that committee.
Please describe America to me in one single word. What would that be if you could describe America in one single word?
Well, for me, I guess home.
Home. Fair enough. Well, just a few weeks ago, this is how President Biden described America in one word. Please tell me what that word means?
Yeah, he's holding up a chart here with this long word of gibberish.
Could you even say the word?
Congressman, I'm not in the habit of trying to read transcriptions.
I bring this up to you, sir. I bring this up to you
on television
because you yourself questioned Donald Trump's mental state of mind in September of 2019 when you stated to CNN, I quote, "If our presidency is not in good shape, then our country is not in good shape." And Mr. Secretary, I could not agree with you more. I'm going to repeat what your quote is. If our presidency is not in good shape, then our country is not in good shape. Inflation's at 9.1%. Gas prices are through the roof. Our adversaries are exploiting our weaknesses across the globe. And our southern border is non-existent. This administration puts the American people last. The left and the dishonest media, which in my humble opinion is the greatest threat to this country, the dishonest media, began questioning President Trump's mental state back in February of 2017, a month into his presidency. We now have President Biden in office for 18 months, and just recently, we now see the mainstream media questioning President Biden's mental state, and for good reason. Sadly, he shakes hands with ghosts and imaginary people. He falls off bicycles. Even at the White House Easter celebration, the Easter Bunny had to guide him back into his safe place. Cue cards that say "sit here" or "end of speech," which he actually states. That is, if he stays away.
My question for you is, sir, have you spoken with any other cabinet members about implementing the 25th Amendment on President Biden?
First of all, I'm glad to have a president who can ride a bicycle. And
that's your question.
I will look beyond the insulting nature of that question and make clear to you that the President
have
of the United States...
Have you spoken to any other cabinet members about implementing the 25th Amendment on President Biden?
Of course not.
Please allow the witness
to
know.
Have you emailed... This is my time. Have you emailed any members with the executive branch about the president's health or cognitive decline, including text messages from your private phone?
Boss as I have ever had the pleasure of working with.
What about a political appointees at USDOT? Have you spoken about...
Gentlemen's time has expired.
Time has expired. Very interesting dialogue there on the House committee there, the transportation infrastructure there. That was Texas Congressman Troy Nels as he grilled the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. A story here from Mass Resistance tells us that dozens of residents in Temple, Texas. You see, this is a story of pushback once again. Pushback winning. Residents in Temple, Texas have forced the city to table its plans to impose a radical pro-LGBT diversity, equity, and inclusion indoctrination program on all municipal employees. The city backed down following strong organized pushback by citizens. Now there is momentum to derail this program permanently over the next several months. Temple is located about 40 miles north of Austin in a region with a large conservative Christian population. The residents' efforts were organized by concerned Christian citizens. That's a local Texas mass resistance affiliate. Troubling story here. Townhall.com, Sir Arnold reports that a summer camp in Portland is offering a free radical social justice camp. They learn about Black Lives Matter chants, about putting killer cops in jail, and reflect on white supremacy. The Budding Roses Camp, part of a project from the Black Rose Anarchist Federation, hosting a two-week camp for grades 4 to 8 aimed at teaching kids the main proponents of anarchy, similar to the 2020 violent riots, teaching kids how to hate the police. The camp's curricular features a Black Lives Matter at School coloring book and a What is Police Abolition section that imagines communities without cops. Other camp activities will include teaching kids how to handle being sprayed with tear gas and how to talk about racism, gentrification, student activism, gender, and climate change. From Breitbart, Betsy DeVos, who served as the U.S. Secretary of Education under former President Trump. Well, she's calling for the abolishment of the Department of Education. Speaking at the Moms for Liberty Summit, DeVos said the federal government should be removed from education, leaving it to the state and local level, saying, quote, "I personally think the Department of Education should not exist." She got a standing ovation. She acknowledged the good that teachers serve, including those in attendance at the summit, but blasted teachers' unions as being, quote, K-12 cartel. From WND.com, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is directing teens to an online chat platform run in part by Planned Parenthood that discusses sex change operations, polyamorous relationships, the occult, and other topics. The site is designed so that users can quickly hide it from parents, reports Breitbart News. Among the topics are drag culture 101, sex and relationships, having multiple genders, gender affirmation surgeries, and there are chats on self-discovery in astrology and queering tarot, which is about the tarot cards used in occult practices. The creators of the site clearly believe that many parents don't know what is best for their children. On each page of the website, there's this large button at the bottom that says, click, tap here for a quick escape. The button hides the site by taking users to the Google homepage. So if a child's on this site, and parents are walking in the room or they hear him coming down the hall, just hit the large button and the parents will never know. From the activist mommy, as accusations that public schools have become facilities to groom children for sexual abuse have reached fever pitch in 2022, data shows that at least 181 staffers at K-12 facilities have been charged with sex crimes related to children in the first half of 2022. Fox News Digital had the stunning report this week, which reveals that at least four principals of K-12 facilities number in the scores of other educators currently facing charges for child sex crimes. Then 181, in addition to the four principals, includes 153 teachers. Also, there are 12 teachers' aides. 12 teachers' aides and 12 substitute teachers. At least 77% of the arrests, or 140, involve sex crimes against students, and the overwhelming majority, that is 78%, involved men. By the way, Todd Starnes has just put out an article here a short time ago, headline grooming, teacher says entire second grade class changed their pronouns. A teacher claims on social media that her entire class of second grade students changed their pronouns and is being kept a secret from, quote, unsafe adults. Huh. Let's move on to other issues here on Crosstalk. So much going on. From the Daily Caller, Republican Texas Senator Ted Cruz introduced legislation today that would use COVID-19 education-related funding to improve the security at schools across the United States. The legislation is entitled The Protect Our Children's Schools Act, is a Senate companion to legislation introduced by Texas Republican Randy Weber. Would allow schools to use unspent previously appropriated of federal COVID-19 education-related funding to improve school security, requires the Department of Education to make all unobligated federal COVID relief funds that are available to the Secretary of Education for school safety purposes. On election news from the Center Square, the disagreement over Wisconsin's law on absentee ballots could be headed for court. Senator Steve Noss on Thursday directed his staff to look at any and all options after the Wisconsin Elections Commission said it would not abide by the legislature's decision to stop telling local election clerks that they can fill in missing information on absentee ballots, a practice called curing. The commissioners and staff of WEC have a lengthy history of ignoring the state elections law by issuing rogue guidance to municipal clerks and election workers. However, their actions in the last 12 hours can only be described as absolute lawlessness, Noss says. I've asked my leadership to immediately take legal action to obtain a court order to compel WEC compliance with state law regarding absentee ballot certification procedures. Noss's Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules on Wednesday killed the Election Commission's formal rule for adding missing information to absentee ballots. But Wisconsin's Election Commission does not care. They're going to skirt the law, not just skirt it, they're going to defy the law, defy the legislature. Well, coming to us from the Gateway Pundit, Wisconsin State Senator Janelle Branchen, chairman of the Committee on Campaign and Elections, declared her request for the decertification of the November 2020 presidential elections. Senator Branchen joined in with Representative Timothy Ramthan. His statement to decertify the election following several investigations revealing tens of thousands of suspected ballots. This comes after the Wisconsin Election Commission announced they will ignore the new ruling and allow election clerks to cure and count incomplete mail-in ballots. Janelle Branchen said this in a press release, quote, "Fair and honest elections are the cornerstone of our democracy, and we know that the 2020 presidential election was neither fair nor transparent. A handful of rogue clerks, along with the Wisconsin Election Commission, decided they would subvert our election process with private money, drop boxes, illegal use of the indefinitely confined provision, and the elimination of special voting deputies. We will never know the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. Tyranny is at Wisconsin's door." It's not only Wisconsin, folks. The headline here from Western Journal, terrible ballot disaster in Arizona. Up to 63,000 ballots mailed with election-destroying error. Voting twice has become the solution to address a massive mistake in early voting ballots sent out to about 63,000 residents of Arizona's Pinal County. More than half of all the ballots marked out earlier this month, either the wrong municipal elections listed for the voter getting the ballot or the municipal elections for that voters are completely missing. The attorney for the county said it's a terrible time to make that mistake. Indeed. And folks, it's not only Arizona. Let's go to Illinois. The Rockford Register Star found that Rockford area election glitch affected 20,000 ballots. Winnebago County Clerk Lori Gumnow says her office will keep an extra close watch on results in November 6th general election. There was a snafu in the June primary referendum on highly affected 20,000 ballots. We found out that there was a formatting error on the ballot. And they found a test. They couldn't believe all the referendum that were being passed. But a referendum passed after they did a recount looking at this wrongly formatted ballot, found that voters actually failed the referendum, not supported the referendum. And they did the hand count and did the certification then. But why are all these printing errors taking place? Back with more in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Crosstalk as we know it began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Vic Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine-formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, a news roundup day here today at the end of the week. We thank you for tuning in. And we're talking about election news going into that break, and this from WND.com. In a purported effort to stop candidates from stealing elections, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators is, what we're told, very close to issuing legislation that would drastically limit the ability of Congress to challenge the Electoral College vote in case of alleged fraud. NBC News reported the bill would reform the Electoral Count Act with the intent of clarifying the role of the vice president and Congress and confirming the winner of a presidential election in the wake of January 6. Well, the working group of senators hopes to release text as early as next week, something we need to keep our eye on, ladies and gentlemen. This is also interesting from the Daily Signal. Two big money liberal operations ready to spend $80 million each are trying to determine who controls elections and how in the years ahead. The overall objective of the political left is to change the way you conduct overall elections, said Jason Snead, executive director of the Honest Elections Project, which advocates clean elections, he told the Daily Signal. One of the two liberal groups, Run for Something, is a political action committee founded by a former Hillary Clinton campaign staffer. In the spring, Run for Something established its Clerk Work Project with the goal of electing clerks, election supervisors, registrars, recorders, and other local officials charged with running elections. The PAC says it will promote thousands of election administrators in the years ahead, but for 2022, it's reportedly endorsing 11 candidates competing in races in California, Colorado, Illinois, Missouri, Nevada, North Carolina, and Tennessee. Local election clerks generally are empowered to interpret and enforce state election regulations. They often have discretion on matters such as whether to count absentee ballots that come in after Election Day, how strictly to enforce voter ID or signature matching requirements, and how closely poll watchers may monitor the ballot counting on Election Day. Snead and other critics say they see parallels between Run for Something and efforts to elect liberal prosecutors financed by liberal hedge fund manager George Soros. They also see strong similarities between the U.S. Alliance for Election Excellence and Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg's election administration grants in the 2020 election cycle. So, folks, just as we saw Zuckerberg get involved in the last election, just as we have seen George Soros money going in to get in liberal, progressive district attorneys who will not prosecute, let people out without bail just on signature bond. Now they're looking at local election clerks as well, who have discretion to some extent, and some take discretion beyond what their authority is constitutionally placed upon them. Western Journal is reporting a federal judge in Tennessee has temporarily barred two federal agencies from enforcing directives issued by President Joe Biden that extended protections for LGBT individuals in schools and workplaces. Oh, here's George Soros. Daily Signal reporting a group associated with Soros is taking over 18 Spanish language radio stations, including the iconic conservative talk radio, Radio Mambi. It's a stab in the heart of the community, said Lourdes Ubeda, a former host at the station. They've gained a reputation as a station that serves the Cuban exile community. It often speaks openly about the harms of socialism and communism. These stations are now going to be taken over by George Soros. Also, Pamela Geller reporting a very interesting story here. Left-wing Democrat megadonor George Soros has donated $1 million to help Beto O'Rourke's efforts to unseat Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott, filing show. Records filed with the Texas Ethics Commission published Tuesday show the billionaire donated the sum to the Beto IV Texas Political Action Committee in June, according to The Hill. O'Rourke's campaign confirmed the donation to the outlet. Additionally, the progressive investor gave more than $125 million to a Democrat-aligned super PAC to boost Democratic groups and candidates ahead of the 2022 midterm elections. From the National Pulse, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation helping fund the Chinese Communist Party's Ministry of Science and Technology, assisting the brutal regime in its efforts to lure foreign scientists in to boost China's scientific advancement. A recent $100,000 grant from the Microsoft Moguls Foundation was sent to the Foreign Talent Research Center of China's Ministry of Science and Technology in June, according to the organization's website. The purpose of the cash is listed as organizing a forum on pandemic preparedness and response, and would focus on leveraging resources to improve global health and support disadvantaged populations who are disproportionately impacted by a pandemic. And you've heard the clips. We've played them on Crosstalk. If we do a real good job on vaccines, we will save lives and reduce the population. WND.com reporting one member of Congress is demanding that Bill Gates, a celebrated environmentalist, answer some questions about why he is buying up tens of thousands of acres of farmland. That farmland now is often used for producing feed for cattle that are turned into steaks and roast and hamburgers. But Gates has openly advocated that nations should convert to synthetic beef. So Representative Dusty Johnson of South Dakota wants him to explain what is going on. Gates already owns more than 9,000 acres in Idaho, 16,000 acres in Washington, 20,000 in Nebraska, 4,500 in California, 25,000 in Arizona, 47,000 in Arkansas, and more than in a total of 19 states. His total ownership is about 270,000 acres, and his most recent fight for land was over 2,100 acres in North Dakota. Dusty Johnson posted, "Bill Gates is the largest owner of U.S. farmland. I'm curious what's planned for this incredibly productive ag land, given that he believes developed countries like America should not eat any red meat. How are his land purchases related to those aspirations?" Do you smell something clandestinely afoot here? The New York Post is reporting that Chinese investors were the most active buyers of U.S. real estate last year among foreigners, spending a record $6.1 billion on homes, mainly in Florida and California, according to the National Association of Realtors. Anthony Fauci, LifeNews.com says, well, he is saying he's going to retire at the end of Biden's term. Students for Life recently called for Fauci to be removed from office after his agency, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, was caught using tax dollars to fund an experiment that involved implanting aborted baby scalps on rodents. Townhall.com reporting a new medical study published by The Lancet, a weekly peer-reviewed general medical journal, shows Wuhan coronavirus booster shots can be harmful to the immune system and can cause adverse effects. The study also shows that after 8 months, a vaccinated person has the same immunity levels against the virus as an unvaccinated individual. Recently, The Lancet published a study of the effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines and the waning of immunity with time. The study showed that immune function among vaccinated individuals 8 months after the administration of two doses of COVID-19 vaccine was lower than among the unvaccinated individuals. According to European Medicines Agency's recommendations, frequent COVID-19 booster shots could adversely affect the immune response and may not be feasible, the National Institutes of Health published in response to the study. Well, in the wake of Boris Johnson resigning, a report was quietly published by the UK government, reports the expose, just hours before he announced his resignation, revealing that COVID-19 deaths have risen dramatically among the triple vaccinated population in England over the past couple of months, while declining drastically among the unvaccinated population. While the most recent figures show the vaccinated population in England accounted for a shocking 94% of all COVID deaths in April and May, and 90% of those deaths were among the triple, quadruple vaccinated population. I wish I had time to go further into that, but that I'm not able to. Let's get to Grand Rapids, Michigan. A story from LifeSiteNews.com. Michigan mom Jenna Campau, who filed a federal lawsuit against a hospital for allegedly denying her daughter crucial medical treatment due to COVID-19 vaccination status, scored a resounding legal and medical victory. Jenna, the adoptive mom of a 17-year-old Ukrainian girl, decided to pursue legal action against Spectrum Health and Helen DeVos Children's Hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan, earlier this year. We understand the move came after the hospital had allegedly refused to put the girl on the wait list for a kidney transplant because she was not vaccinated against COVID. The family chose not to receive the abortion-tainted COVID-19 shots due to religious objections. The hospital has now reversed course and allowing Alicia, the gal, to start her medical evaluations without requiring her now to get the jab. Okay, let's see. Let me take a quick load here. Look here. It looks like the Italian government imploding now as well, reports Pamela Geller with the Italy heading for an early election. It's very interesting to observe all these world leaders that are either stepping down or having to call re-elections in various countries, and Italy is another one of those taking place. Can I get this in? Let's see if we can. It's going to be close here. This is Democratic Mayor Muriel Bowser told CBS Face the Nation that she fears people are being tricked into getting in buses into D.C. Mentions about all these illegals that are coming up from Texas. Well, Karine Jean-Pierre was approached by ABC's Karen Travers during a press conference. If the White House would be providing relief to Washington, D.C., because Texas was busing the illegal immigrants into these cities. Let's listen to that exchange.
The mayors of New York City and D.C. are calling for more federal resources to assist with asylum seekers who are being bused to those cities from Texas and Arizona. They've had thousands of people arriving over the past couple of weeks. Mayor Bowser here in D.C. said these people are being tricked. What federal resources is the White House preparing, if any, to deliver to these cities and other cities that are now dealing with an increase of asylum seekers?
So I can tell you, Karen, that we have been in touch with both of their administrations, both of their offices, and we're going to continue to look into their requests. I don't have further than that to share, but we have been in touch with Mayor Bowser's office, and we have been in touch with Mayor Adams' office.
And there could be resources that can be given.
Right now, I can tell you that FEMA is the lead agency on this. And so I would point you to them on any more information or details that they can provide.
And then on the other end of it, some advocates say that the governors of these states are using these migrants as pawns. Has the White House reached out to those governors and said, don't send these people to these cities on the East Coast?
So as you know, we're in constant communication and contact with governors just across the country. I don't have anything specific to that. The specific on migrants being shipped to other states.
Is there a message from the White House about
this has come up before, I believe, a couple of months ago, and I think we believe it's shameful that some governors are using migrants as a political tool, as a political play, when we should be making sure that we're doing everything that we can to help folks who are coming into this process in a legal way, and making sure that we do this in a safe way and respectful way. And I think it's shameful that that is happening.
Shameful. Folks coming into this process, did I hear her correct? In a legal way? A legal way? Calling it shameful behavior to ship those who are here illegally, shipping them to D.C. where the decision-making is coming from the president to keep the borders open? My. Friends, let's open our phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these or current event stories, our number to crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There are three steps the communists are using to carry out their ongoing revolution in America. Now, let me make this very clear. There are many plans and many processes, but there are specifically three steps I want to concentrate on today that the communists are using to carry out their revolution in America. Number one, formal communist education. Most of our schools, elementary schools, as well as high schools and colleges, are giving young people, now for decades, a heavy dose of communism under such names as common good or social justice. Number one, formal communist education. Number two, self-criticism and criticism of America. America now has been declared a racist nation, an evil nation. We're called to criticize ourselves as Christians and conservatives. And then number three, the censorship of reality and truth. These are the steps for a communist revolution.
You know, unbelievable. Earlier this week, FoxNews.com had the story of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. This past Tuesday, claimed the southern border is secure, even as border agents are facing historic migrant numbers. We've done programs on that. But he said, look, the border is secure. We're working to make the border more secure. That has been a historic challenge. Oh, my. I don't know how some people sleep at night. Let's go to the phone lines here today and crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. We're going to go to the state of Florida. We have Don calling in. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Just calling about the retaliation that the people are making about the Roe v. Wade overturning. I want to thank the Lord, first of all. We've been praying for that for decades, and the Lord answered our prayer in spite of how others feel about it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, Scripture says, beholding the evil and the good. It's an evil thing to burn up a business or a church, mm-hmm. Promoting the truth. And just like God talked about the Sodomites in Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom were sinners before the Lord, exceedingly sinful. And vengeance is mine. Jesus will right the wrong there.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate your comments here today. Philip in Richland, Washington, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to refer you to a book that I sent to you several weeks ago. It's mm-hmm. An Appeal to Heaven for America, compiled by Dr. Chuck and Joe Harding.
Yeah.
It deals with all of the issues that are being discussed in detail,
mm-hmm.
And it is a prayer. And the important part of this is praying in unison mm-hmm. with others. Now, World Vision, with 40,000 employees, has taken this up to make these prayers. And I would like to see these prayers actually being read and on your program.
Okay.
So that we would join the rest of the world in praying for America, because God needs to make the changes. Only He can solve all these problems.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Philip, for your comments here. Christine in, is that Clinton, Wisconsin? Or Chilton?
Chilton, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Yes. I have a question regarding Bill Gates, and he's buying up all this farmland. I was wondering if you had heard anything about how he's also buying up heirloom seed companies.
I don't have...
Which is a scary idea.
I don't have information on that. What can you tell us about it?
Oh, I was just told that someone had heard it on the news, and so I hadn't seen anything yet. So you guys are all in the know, so I thought I would just check it out.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's
love your show.
Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. 800-733-9829. George in Ohio, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. What we want to remember is what Joseph Stalin said in 1913. That doesn't matter who votes or how they vote. What matters is who counts the votes.
Yeah, yeah.
A tiebreaker, sure.
Yep, that's so true. Thank
yep,
you.
Thank you.
Alice in Centerton, Arkansas, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. Well, here we go again.
Yeah.
Sodom and Gomorrah are spiritual wickedness in high places of the nation. Now they're going to try to make that awful, awful unions that God just hates so much, an abomination. We just keep poking God in the eye. We really want judgment, it sounds like. Also, I want to address, oh, the ground is level at the cross for wonderful salvation. He's no respecter of persons. There's no supremacy with God. I'm so thankful for that. Jesus Christ died once for all, that we can know his love and joy and peace daily. We can walk with him, for God created us to have fellowship with him. All our mankind has missed the blessing of having been created, and the devil has deceived them. God help us.
Thank you, Alice, for your call here today. Jim is next, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hi, Jim. This is Jim. I just had heard you talk about Janelle Branchen, and she was chairing the investigation to get to the bottom of the 2020 election theft that occurred up here. And I wanted to bring to attention to your listeners here in Wisconsin about Cindy Warner. She's running for lieutenant governor up here, and she is the only candidate in that race that actually brought a lawsuit against the five cities that took Zuckerberg money in our elections up here for primary, Republican primary. She's a Christian constitutional conservative, and they'll be on August 9th. And if people want to get more information about her, it's www.werner4lt.gov.
You still there?
And she will kick butt of these liberal rhinos and keep all people, you know, accountable, whether they're Republican or rhino Republicans or Democrats. So I hope the Wisconsin listeners will check her out.
Okay. Thank you for your comment there. And some of your call was we lost connection there due to, I'm guessing, a cell area there. Let's go to Marvin next. Hi, Marvin. You're on the air, Wisconsin Dells. Or Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a statement about what John MacArthur said recently, that our government is a satanic government, and it's very evident. Thank you.
Thank you for your call here today. Well, friends, troublesome times we live in, don't we? And it's interesting to see even the impact that's having. Here's another story I didn't get to earlier from Daily Caller. The alleged attacker of the New York Republican representative and gubernatorial candidate Lee Zedlin has been released from jail just hours after allegedly attempting to stab the politician with a sharp object, authorities announced early today. So here he is, a candidate is up on stage speaking. He gets attacked, and the perpetrator, who's got sharp objects on his hand in order to do harm, let out just on a signature bond. We saw that also happen in California here recently. Drug traffickers, 150,000 fentanyl pills during a California traffic stop, released on their own recognizance less than 24 hours after their arrest. Guess what, folks? Yesterday morning, they failed to show up for court. Where are they? Don't know. Well, we continue to have the spirit of lawlessness here across our land, don't we? And it behooves us, friends, to recognize that we need to get back to the Word of God, really, to live after biblical truth and biblical principles. And let's be salt, let's be light in a world that has gone lawless. Our time is gone today. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, the Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.